This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 15, where we left off last time. Excuse me. Ephesians, chapter 5, 15. Just before we begin, I want to remind everybody that we have this line-by-line anointed teaching every Sunday here at my school, 5 p.m., and then we pray for everybody after that. And also Wednesday, 6 p.m., and then we have warrior prayer. And don't forget Thursdays from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Scott and I just come here and we make ourselves available to pray for anybody who walks in. So you're welcome to all of this. Now Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. The Apostle Paul is in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, said Jesus. If you've not been persecuted, you probably aren't preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he was writing to the church he founded at Ephesus, and after he told them the mystery of God and the beautiful fact that Jesus cut the blood covenant, he began to tell them in chapter 4 and 5 how to walk this life as a Christian. How to walk in the Word as a Christian with believers and with non-believers. And last week, he said, some of those non-believers, you don't even need to associate with them because just like in America, the whole society there had given up to sexual promiscuity, aberration, and they were just party hardy and were just a sinful mess. So he said, you don't even want to associate with them. Turn off your computer, turn off your television, turn off your smartphone, and get out of there. In other words, evil communications corrupts good manners. And so that's where we left off. Let's begin now with verse 15.
Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools.
Circumspectly means correctly, walk correctly. All right, the society had gone to the dogs, as they say. And remember that Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, these things happen in the Bible for those of us at the end. We are at the end of this second earth age, or this fifth trump. And we see that our government, our politicians are just absolutely wrapped up in decadent and corrupt sexual promiscuity. And so he says, walk correctly, don't walk there. See, a lot of times you open the doors to these things that might not happen at you at first, but did you know why God says don't have sex out of wedlock? Every person with whom you have sex before your wife, marriage bed is on the file, you have a soul tie with that person. That soul tie. And then that messes up the next relationship. And most people don't know how to break it. As a Christian, just like the generation, different things can be broken. But most people don't know that. So he says, get away from that. In other words, don't even go there. And he said, walk correctly. And correctly would be to walk away from that. Walk wisely, not as fools. In other words, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. So when everybody tells you to come and go to that party where things are not up and up, walk correctly and walk away.
What is wise? 16, redeeming time, because the days are evil.
What he's saying is you go, if you're going to start socializing there and going out to dinner with them, and you know, it could just be as simple a fact as a man and woman living together and they're not married. That is the complete in Revelation, that's one of the sins that can cause you to walk into the lake of fire except you repent for it. See, we've so dumbed down sin in America, you think, oh, that's just a sweet, nice little couple, and they love each other after all. So, no. He says you're wasting your time. Once you have sown the seed once or two or three times and they don't want it, You're wasting your time. You're throwing your pearls before swine. Move on to the next one. In other words, Jesus would dine with publicans and sinners, but he wasn't there chit-chatting and having a social conversation. He was telling them of the truth of God to get them saved, and that should be your only recourse to do that. One thing about you waste your time, we are accountable for our time. Did you know you would give account to God for your time? And so just say that you spend a lot of time on the television, and let's just say you watch soap operas. Soap operas are pure pornography. It's everything about the sex. Everybody's having an affair with everybody else, but it's kind of clothed in an interesting little story. And then watch out for your computer and your smartphone. Don't waste your time. Now, I can tell you how you can redeem your time. That is to get into God's Word. And I don't mean to read it like a robot and then put it on the shelf and then go on to your own thinking and your own driving, your own car. Let that Word come inside of you, and it'll change you from the inside out. Absolutely. Did you know when the Word of God gets into you, it's an inside job? That is redeeming the time. That's worth it all. That Word gets in you, and it takes the silver threads and the gold threads and starts weaving the inside of you until you're going to be made into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. That's redeeming the time. And it's redeeming the time when you learn to pray correctly. You want to learn how to be an intercessory prayer. Nobody will know you're doing it. You don't get any money. You don't get any fame, but God knows it, and things change, and it's a wonderful, wonderful, selfless way to help other people if you learn how to pray in the Spirit, intercessory prayer. And so, now remember that when you are praying, don't do all the talking. This is supposed to be a relationship. Stop every now and then and say, Lord, do you have something to say? Did you know God's trying to get your attention all the time? He's forever sending out little signals to you. But most people miss it because you're doing all the talking.
17. Not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
In other words, you don't want to be foolish like those people who are going to those parties where the whole idea is to find someone of the opposite sex, and that's the whole purpose of it. In other words, physical. You want to be wise. And where, of course, do you get wisdom? You get wisdom from the Word of God.
Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess.
Now, so Paul says, all right, I know what you're doing. You're going to those parties, and they just told you it was a nice social, but there you are, and everybody's dressed nicely, and there's somebody good-looking over there, and there's somebody good-looking over there, and everybody's kind of flirting and rubbing and touching, and then you got the alcohol flowing, and he said, watch out, be not drunk with wine. Now, what's an alternative?
But be filled with the Spirit.
Oh, my goodness. Now, did you know that there is an alternative to being drunk? Alcoholics Anonymous, listen up. There's an alternative, and it's so much better, and you don't have a hangover, and you don't mess up your relationships out of this. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know that when the Holy Spirit pours His fire into you, He did this to me while we were singing that little song each day, I'll do a golden knee. That's why I didn't stop. I just kept playing. It felt so good. There is no thrill. There is no high like His left hand under your head. His right hand doth embrace you. It's a thrill. You get giddy. You just pick up. You just know you're going to fly. Many times, Scott and I have been praying. I said, Scott, I'm going to fly. I just feel like I'm going to go up. It's wild. It's exciting. And you know your muscles don't hurt anymore. You don't have a hangover. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It is so wonderful. In other words, see, the reason a lot of you don't understand about that, you think you are your body. You're always thinking about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to do, your dog, your cat, your car, your foreigner, no more, and your job, and you think that's you. That is not you. That's your clay pot. That's your envelope. You are a spirit. Now, I know you're in that, and it does contain us, and we have to use some common sense, and we don't leave it and we don't hurt it. We have to take care of it. But you are a spirit. What in the world would make the Spirit high? The Holy Spirit. He ignites with your spirit, and wow, you can fly. And I can tell you, He'll give you dreams and visions that, you know, you've heard of people hallucinating on drugs and things. No, no, no. High in the Spirit, He'll give you visions and revelations. You'll see things to come. It's fantastic. Amen. So, all of you who think you've been kind of getting a little bit too drunk on alcohol or drugs, let's try the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. It's a real high. And you know what? You can have it all the time. As soon as you feel it subsiding, just praise him and he'll come right back in. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time.
Amen.
19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
So Paul says, I know what you're doing. You're over there. You got a little bit too much alcohol at that party. That's a nice social, but I can see you like her and you like her and nobody's caring when anybody's married. And okay, it's going to go too hard, too far. And you're getting drunk there. Uh-oh, here comes the band. Boing, 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 boing. Now, we love music, and I'm a musician. But see, there is holy dance. I love to dance. David danced before the Lord. There is a holy dance and there is a dirty dance. And so you have to know the difference. When you're in the physical, you'll do the dirty dance. And then it's so accepted by people in the society at your parties where you have your socials and where you dance together. And they start them in school very early. So it just, you think that it's right for you to be touching all these kind of ways. No, it isn't. There is a holy dance and it's proper, and it should be done that way. So he says, I know what you're going to do. You're going to crank up the music then, and that's going to open the door to Satan coming in. Now, here's what he says. Why don't you sing God's song? Get drunk on the Holy Spirit. Get high there, okay? And just have another drink on that. Be giddy. Winner, fly away. And instead of mumbling and muttering like a drunk, why don't you sing Christian songs? I've worked with homeless so much, and many times a homeless person would be coming to one of my places for one of my meetings, and he was drunk as a skunk, and I loved him anyway, and I would watch him, and there'd be no one with him, and he would just be going, he's talking to nobody, there's nobody there, and he starts singing and everything. So see, if a person who's physically drunk can sing under their breath and talk to somebody, why don't you sing the great hymns? Now, the Holy Spirit sings. So see, when you get high on the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, then you don't get a hangover and your body won't get up the next day. But the Holy Spirit will probably come through and sing through you. Paul says, I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with your understanding. And so Jesus is the chief musician. We're studying Psalms, the chief musician. Jesus is a musician. So he loves to sing. And singing, making melodies in your heart to the Lord. There's nothing more beautiful, more thrilling. When I pray for people, that Spirit comes on me. And that sound starts coming. And he makes up the tune. He makes up the words. I don't have anything to do with what he sings through me. Or the tune, he does that. It's very thrilling to me that he's just singing that. It's a thrill, it's a high, it's a spiritual drunk, and it feels so good. Absolutely. One of the reasons that I have a hymn of the month here, and we sing one every Sunday, is because the Bible says, remove not the old landmark. There are some things that are so sacred, we need to preserve them in the Christian faith. The hymns that were written by blood, sweat, and tears of saints who lived this, who walked this, the anointed of their scripture, they're powerful. It's amazing how much you can change your own atmosphere by singing a spiritual song. Just a few moments ago, we're singing all kinds of songs, and of course, many Christmas carols and worship songs, beautiful music. But we have a little song that my Brave Bell band, that's Olivia, Max, and Scott, and myself, that we like to play. And the rhythm is so perfect, and it's called Each Day I'll Do a Golden Deed by Helping Those Who Are in Need. My life on earth is but a span, but I will be God's helping hand. Every time we get together and do that, we own drums and percussion and triangle and piano and so forth. Every time we do that, the Spirit of God just comes. The Lord comes in, and he's joyous with us. He just fills up the place. It is amazing that little song is so anointed. So why should we ever need to go somewhere else to get drunk or to get a thrill? All we have to do is sing a little song, and then the Jesus is present.
Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things.
Now, that does not mean that you thank the Lord that the demon messed you up or hurt you or something. But in other words, in those hard times, give thanks that God is with you. I used to have a book, The Attitude of Gratitude. It disappeared. But in other words, he tells us in Corinthians, thanksgiving actually increases. You don't want to just be so boring to God. God, thank you for all your blessings, and I'm going to ask you some more. That's about way. But thank you for your blessings, by the way, but I need this now. Watch out for the God hugs he gives you. If you're walking closely to him, he gives you a God hug all the time. And I love it when I begin to watch that. David's come into the church and been saved. And I see things in your life, Scott, David, that happen. Scott tells me about him. And I think that's just a God hug. He's just encouraging David. But he does that for every one of you, little God hugs along the way. It might be a telephone call, a little note, a little word someone said, a text, a little gift someone gives you, or just a cup of soup or something. But whatever it is, you watch out and you make sure that you say thank you. God is so good to us, and he does bless us. You know, good parents will buy a nice house just to get a big backyard fenced in so their children can run and play and be safe. But God has so many children that he wanted us to have a nice place to play, so he created the universe. I think we should be thankful. Thanksgiving actually increases. Not only be thankful to God, but be thankful for others. Thank people for the things they do for you. Don't start taking things for granted. You know what? You can give somebody so much that they'll never say thank you. You get kind of tired of that. So God wants you to acknowledge and recognize those gifts he gives you.
To God and to the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What a powerful little word there. Now, if you've ever wondered to whom you should pray, do I pray to the Father? Do I pray to Jesus? Do I pray to the Holy Spirit? It was just to answer them. You give thanks unto the Father in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father, and he is the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus said in the Beatitudes there in Matthew, after this manner pray for our Father. Jesus is our high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He sits on the right hand of the throne of glory. Now, we pray to the Father because he is the supreme God. And we have a password. We pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the mediator between us and God. He made the atonement. And so we have to go through that. In other words, Jesus can say, that's all right, Susie said Jesus. She believes in Jesus. And see, no matter how many times you pray that, every time you pray that, let the word of Jesus bless your heart. Say it with love. And God knows that you always remember that it was because of Jesus that you can go back to the Father's house. Jesus cut that blood covenant so that those who are exiled could go back home again. Amen. So we pray to the Father in Jesus' name.
Amen. 21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Now he's talking about you as a body of Christ, members of the body of Christ, submitting. Now does that mean that we're supposed to say, oh, somebody's going to say, come over here and cut down my tree and break it up into firewood and fix the fire and mow the lawn and do all these? No. Submitting means to make yourself available. Let other people in your church assembly or in the world, wherever you meet, I just say the world, everybody I meet, let them know that you are available to help them. Don't make people have to call you, will you help me please? I am available to help you. Is there anything I can do for you? Call up and find out. Don't wait for that. That's self-centered and you just want somebody to prod you there. Why don't you make yourself available? Call me if you need prayer. Do you need anything? Do you need a ride to the store? Were you able to get your groceries in the hurricane? How are you feeling? Do you need to go somewhere? I'm available. That's what it means. Whoa. Now I'm starting to step on some toes, aren't I? That's good, because the sooner we get these little things out of our system, the sooner we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit.
22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
As unto the Lord, you would not submit yourself if the Lord were not pleased with it. Again, this sentence has been so mistaught. Submit does not mean I am your slave. You can drag me around out of here, beat me up, and I'll still cut the wood and cook the dinner and all that. No. Wives, make yourself available to your husband. It might just be that he's changing the tire and he's tired and it's dark. It might be get the flashlight and go hold it. Honey, Can I hold the flashlight for you? Make yourself available to hear your husband's heart. If you will hear your husband's heart and can climb in there and understand it, all of the other things are going to fall into place. Don't be so busy with the children or your work or whatever's going on that you don't have time to be available for your husband. Watch him and help him. Watch the things that are great for him. Watch the things that are hard for him. Make yourself available. The physical will always take care of itself if the emotional is taken care of. The physical relationship between a man and a woman after marriage really starts from the heart. And if that can be all right, the rest will fall into place.
23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church.
Okay. Now, both of these verses, that one about a wife, submit yourself to your husband, I've heard that mistaught. There was one story of a woman who wanted to so follow the Bible, and she was married to an abusive husband who beat her up and hurt her and left her bruised and everything. And she went to a pastor and she said, but I have to still submit to him. He said, yes, you have to. You can't quit. You have to submit. And that's not what it meant at all. And but she went back and he beat her until he killed her. No, if you're married to a fool, don't submit yourself to a fool. Abigail in 1 Samuel in the Bible was married to a fool. You don't ever submit yourself to a fool, not in the body of Christ, not to the world, or not in the marriage bed. But Jesus, it says that husband is the head of the wife as Jesus is. That doesn't mean he's the boss. Woman, get my stuff. Woman, do this. No. Look at Jesus. He's the head. He so loved the church that he said, darling, I don't want you to be sick. I'll take 39 stripes for you. Darling, I don't want you to walk into the lake of fire. I'll die for you. You understand? That's a good head. That's a good head. You know, the head's no good without the body, and the body's no good without the head. It takes two to make one. Amen. These two shall be one flesh. That was a great statement.
Yes. And he is the savior of the body.
So see, that's right there. Just in case, and people like to use that, say, see, the husband's supposed to be the boss. He's the savior of the body. In other words, this is in no way that God's saying that one is greater in the kingdom than the other. He just places us in. Because the truth is, the woman is there to nurture those children and to take care and get that home thing and all of that ready. So we need somebody with a clear mind to make sure that the wife is taken care of. You know what Paul says in 1 Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy 5. You can check me out on that. He says a man who won't support his family is worse than an infidel. Whoa.
Verse 24. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their husbands in everything.
So, in other words, be available for your husband if he needs to talk or whatever he needs to be. Be available for him. But Paul's message here, he's going into the third level. You as a Christian are to be available to the Lord. You say, just make yourself available. Some of you say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, make yourself available. Many years ago, I said, Lord, you've given me a gift to pray for others, and I see that it works. You answer my prayers. So I'm going to make myself available every morning, and I started out with 1 hour intercessory prayer, and it's gone to 3, and I've been doing that for years. And see, nobody knows that, but I'm available. I show up, and I pray for everybody early in the morning like that. I really do that. So we have all of these programs on here where we pray with people. And Scott and I said, you know, God's given us both these gifts to pray for people and the anointing. And so Scott and I said, we're going to meet here every Thursday, and we're going to make ourselves available to pray for people who might not come otherwise. Maybe they just have a lunch break. Maybe they'd like to come in the door, call us on the telephone. We're just going to show up, Lord. We're going to make ourselves available. Now, it was a little slow at first, but we're seeing that. We're actually having miracles now, bit by bit by bit. Go home tonight and tell God you are available. Lord, let's just do it right now. Father, here am I.
Father, here am I.
I am available.
I am available.
I'm showing up for this job.
I'm showing up for this job.
Tell me what to do.
Tell me what to do.
And I will do it.
And I will do it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. So, just show up.
25 husbands love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
See, he actually died for the church. Jesus did. Jesus loved the church, and there was no way mankind could get back to Father after that sin had happened in the first earth age and separated us. So we had to have a mediator, and Jesus cut that blood covenant, and now we walk on the back of that cross, on that blood of Jesus Christ. And that is love. No greater love at this than a man lay down his life for his friend. So husband loves your wife the same way.
26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word.
Now, sanctify means to set apart and cleanse it. When Jesus shed the blood, and when you asked forgiveness and got saved, that blood cleansed that curse of sin from you. But in this life, because we live in a sewage of sin, television, computer, smartphone, out the door, school, church, on the street, wherever you go, there's a sewer of sin, and we get our feet dirty every day. So what do? You take a bath in the Word of God. This started in the Old Testament. Before Jesus came, they had a lava, which is a big tub, in the temple. And when the people would go in there with the animal sacrifices, they had to go and get cleaned up before they could go into the presence of God. So see, Jesus, there's going to be a wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So see, I might like to call this, get cleaned up, we're going to a wedding. Go take a bath. In other words, wash yourself every day with the Word of God. I don't mean read it like a robot and put it on the shelf and go on back to your own way of thinking. Let it sink inside of you, swim in it. And once again, as I said before, it's an inside job. When that word gets inside of you, it starts weaving the tapestry, conforming you to the image and likeness of Jesus unto your pure gold and pure silver. It's a beautiful thing to behold a person who walks in that. You start talking it, and you'll find you're going to have that spiritual high. You'll be open to that. You're washed with water by the Word of God. It is a good thing for the husband to wash his wife by reading the Word of God. It is a good thing for the wife to wash her husband by reading him the Word of God. It is a good thing for the father and mother to wash their children by reading them the Word of God. It is a good thing for people to wash other people, say blind people who cannot read, that you would read to them the Word of God and wash them clean. It is always a cleansing thing. Some years ago, I had a beautiful musical program, and I wrote it. I wrote all my plays and things, the music and everything, for my students based on this verse. And I had these pretty girls, and I dressed them in rose costumes and pretty little roses, and I got them to kneel down on the stage like they were in the dirty sand, okay? They were down there, they're wilting, they're dirty. And then here comes a watering can. He's really cute. So he's got a big watering can, and he says, the poor roses are down there, my little girls are down there. Here comes a watering can, he says. Here I come with my watering can. What does my can contain? The well of life, the Word of God, and I pour it out in Jesus' name. And he took that great big can, and I had silver streamers on it, and he watered those roses, and I hit the piano, da-da-da-da-da-da, and the roses got up, and they sang, oh, the rose does bloom in the desert. A beautiful flower rising out of the sand. We're washed with water by the Word of God. We're the children of the great I Am. Say it. We're the children of the great I Am. We're the children of the great I Am. Well, why does he want us clean? Why does he want us to wash ourselves clean with the Word of God every day?
27, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
See, the Word of God keeps you straight. You try to go to internet and Facebook and other prophets' words. All you need to stay straight and clean and pure and holy, that you may present it to Jesus as a glorious church, a pure church, is the Word of God. The devil has stolen this from you, church, and given you 3 points in a book and given you Facebook. Many of you think that you're worshiping God on Facebook because maybe somebody says God. No, the Bible is God's voice. That's where you get cleansed, and you don't want to ever be away from it. Memorize your scriptures. Read your scriptures. Wash yourself every day. Take a bath in God's Word. And you'll stay on the straight and narrow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Make sure that you get inebriated with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and sing with the Spirit. That way you're party hardy in heaven, and it's acceptable. We'll begin right there next time. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing really good, Miss Sherry. He gives us all the instructions we need, don't we?
He gives us everything we need to know.
Okay, our first question. Did Joseph believe Mary?
Joseph did believe Mary, that she had not been with a man, but he thought, because he knew that Satan had beguiled Eve in the garden, he thought that Satan had gotten to Mary like he had done Eve. Now, you say, well, where do you get that, Sherry? Well, it's not in the Bible, but it's pretty credible. There is a book called The Evangel, and I'm not teaching that as God's Word, but it is written by Jesus' brother James. James, who wrote the book of James of the New Testament. And he quotes Joseph when Joseph heard and Mary said that I'm going to have the Messiah. Joseph said, "Oh, Lucifer, what have you done? As you beguiled Eve in the garden, so have you beguiled Mary." So see, he believed Mary. He just thought that Satan had gotten to her. Joseph knew the scriptures. He knew of the fornication in the garden. And he knew that Satan would try to stop the Messiah from being born. But we do know that God was so good to Joseph that he led him in a dream and said, "Fear not to take Mary thy wife. That which is conceived is of Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins."
Amen. Amen. Okay, our next question is really pertinent for the time that we're in right now. President Trump just confirmed Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel. Does this have anything to do with the end times?
Absolutely. We're the latter part of the fifth trumpet now. And Zechariah and many other places in the Bible tell us to watch Jerusalem. Jerusalem is our barometer. Remember that the Lord Jesus himself is going to come and set his feet down in Jerusalem. But before he comes, the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, to pretend to be the devil, is going to come and set his feet down in Jerusalem. And so while all eyes are on Jerusalem, he said, watch, the end is very near. See, the spotlight had gotten away from Jerusalem. God just switched it right back there, and he used our wonderful President Trump to do that. So now all eyes are on Jerusalem again. And I can tell you that according to the Bible, we have the signs. We don't know the date or the hour. It's about time for the sixth trumpet to sound, for the Antichrist to come. And to verify this, last night God gave me a vision. I have that gift, a dream vision. And I saw that it was right now, this time, and darkness was upon the land because we don't have much truth. And he showed me 3 moons, M-O-O-N-S. In Bible prophecy, a moon is always a sign of the devil, of the Antichrist. So there we have it. Yes, it sure is a symbol there.
That's awesome. And our last question. Did David really leave his stuff in the cart?
Yes, David the shepherd king really did leave his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Well, it's really time for Scott's stuff.
Okay, I'm going to finish that beautiful poem by E.W. Kenyon.
Oh, I love
that.
The
Blood Covenant. I have legal right now to win this fight on the ground of the blood covenant. I will take my part with courageous heart on the ground of the blood covenant. Now my rights I claim in the mighty name on the ground of the blood covenant. And all my prayers prevail, though all hell assail, on the ground of the blood covenant. I will claim my rights, though the enemy fights, on the ground of the blood covenant. On the ground of the blood covenant. Amen.
That is so beautiful. On the ground of the blood covenant. Wow, what a thing. What a wonderful gift God's given to the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Scott Verson. That is beautiful.
Sure.
Maybe one time we'll have time to read the whole thing all together there. Now, I'm going to pray for those of you who are lost, but first let me pray for the sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. And I ask that you will go through the air with your x-ray vision, Father. Your eyes go to and fro in the earth. And where there is physical pain, I ask that you would just relieve that pain. Jesus bore our pains and carried our sicknesses. Where there is a deathly disease, I ask you to pour in the oil and the wine and the blood. And let the stripes of Jesus pour in there. And with those stripes, let there be a healing. We ask for mobility to come back and balance in Jesus' name. Let there be a balance of the legs, a balance of the hips. We ask for the heel of a leg to be healed, the heel to be healed, to be strong, and to support that leg and the muscles in the calf of the leg to be healed. We ask for healing in the backbone and spine in Jesus' name, for stomach disorders to settle down. We ask for the miracle, top of your head to the soles of your feet, just be rejuvenated, be restored. Whatever ails you, let it be healed now. He sent his word and healed you in the name of Jesus. We give you glory. Thank you, Father. With your stripes, we are healed. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Now, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number in a few minutes. So those of you who were healed, feel free to call and tell me so. Now, let me pray for those of you who are lost. Jesus paid that sin debt, and he loves you so much. Pray this with me and mean it, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus.
Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with all the fullness.
Fill me with all the fullness.
Of the fullness of God.
Of the fullness of God.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Give me your joy.
Give me your joy.
Let me win many souls to you.
Let me win many souls to you.
I'm available.
I'm available.
Here am I.
Here am I.
Send me.
Send me.
I will.
I will.
Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now, you prayed that prayer. You also want to call and tell me that. Now, don't forget, Sundays 5 p.m., Thursdays 12 to 2. Walk in then for prayer. Wednesdays 6 p.m. And I love all of you. Now, remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now, remember, nothing is given to you to keep. Everything you give it away, and God will give you more. Your life is not your own. You're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So go and tell someone else. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying we love you, God bless you, God keep you, and go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth. We'll be right back.
can't pay. I won't see another dime today, oh yeah. And the rain falls down this government line while the suits get a room at a hotel, wasting time. And it's easy to fall down hard, and it's easy to fall. And I know I'm walking tomorrow, paved on streets of gold. And this car I drive is a little worn, but I've got get to Houston in this storm. 'Cause what little peace that I can find is flowing through the bayou, not this rhyme. And it's easy to fall down hard. Yes, it's
this. I get a phone call from Regis. It says, do you want to be a millionaire? They put me on the show and I win with two lifelines to spare. And I picture this, I act like nothing ever happened and bury all the money in a coffee can. Well, I've been given more than Regis ever gave away. I was a dead man who was called to come out of my grave. And I think it's time for making some noise. Awake the word out. Come on, crank up the music, climb a mountain and shout. This is life we've been given, made to be lived out. So la 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 la, live out loud. Live out loud, yeah, yeah. Think about this, try to keep a bird from singing after it soared up in the sky. The sun a cloudless day and tell it not to shine. The thing about this, if we really have been given the gift of a life that will never end, and if we have been filled with living hope, we're gonna overflow. And if God's love is burning in our hearts, we're gonna blow. There's just no way to keep it in. Awake the neighbors, get the word out. Come on, crank
was lost, I walked away. The road was dark, I could not see. My hope was gone, the pain was real. But your mercy, you saw my steps, you felt my fears, you heard my cries, you caught my tears. Arms open wide, you ran to me with your mercy. Your mercy, your mercy. I stand before my King and bow my heart to sing. You saved me, you raised me, you died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy. You give me life beyond the grave. My deepest shame is cast away. You sing a song that covers me. It's your mercy. Your mercy. Loving kindness leads me to repentance. Your loving kindness leads me to repentance. Lord, let your kindness lead us to repentance. Lord, let your kindness lead us to repentance. Your mercy, your mercy, I stand before my
and your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
And the word will be. suit, does it fit across the shoulders? Will it fade when it gets older? We throw ideas that aren't in style in the Salvation Army pile and search for something more to meet our needs. The word was, and the word is, and the word will be. And the word was, and the word is, and the word will be. And the word was, and the word is, and the word will be. And the word was, and the word is, and the word will be. I think it's time I rediscover all the ground that I have covered. Like, seek ye first, what a verse. We are pressed but not crushed, perplexed but don't despair. We are persecuted but not abandoned. We are no longer slaves, we are daughters and sons. And when we are weak, we are very strong. And neither death nor life,
finds me here at heaven's door.